Listen to Australian podcasts. ozpodcasts.com.au.
Your arms are just too short to box with God.
Hold one.
Andre.
Yes!
From out of nowhere.
Hold two.
On bar.
Who are you to doubt El Daniel?
This is Robbie Eagles.
This is the loosest in Australian wrestling, Adam Brooks.
Hi, this is Mimic.
This is five times the world's heavyweight champion, the Scrap Daddy himself, Scrap Brian Adam Pearce.
This is Brian Alvarez, and you are listening to Wrestle Radio Australia.
Welcome to the show, folks. My name is Josh Armour, and thanks very much for downloading Wrestle Radio Australia. This is our first episode on the new feed. So those of you who have stuck with us and are actually subscribing to the new link, thank you very much for persisting with us doing the things that, you know, we don't want to make you guys have to do, especially lately seeing the numbers. I'm like, oh, geez, we picked up a few extra listeners. I don't think I really want to do this to everyone. But, yeah, it's in the long run, it's going to be best for us, just because it's going to be easier to get the shows out to you and cheaper as well, and without having ads and all that sort of stuff throughout the show. And also, the shows will definitely be up there for eternity as long as we continue and decide to keep doing the show. So, yep, this is the last episode on the Podomatic feed, which of course does go to Stitcher and iTunes, so you'll still be able to get the show at all those places where you regularly get it. We're going to get all the links happening there. So once we have all those links, the Player FM, the Stitcher, iTunes, yada yada, Tuning Radio, which is quite popular, I think, with some of you guys, then going to put those in the show notes, all over our Twitter, Facebook, all that good stuff. So you'll definitely be able to find the show on your favourite platform. Thanks again for bearing with us, and more details to follow. What I'll quickly do here is throw to one of our good friends who have a great show called The Bloke Show. If you haven't heard it, check it out. Here's a little teaser, and then we'll be back with Travis Houston from MCW.
G'day folks, AJ here. When you finish listening to this podcast, head on over to iTunes or Stitcher and check out myself, Lee and Punch on The Bloke Show.
We talk about a whole variety of topics like comics, cartoons, movies, television, and sports.
And we're often joined by guests like Deck from Ireland and other friends from all over this wonderful planet.
Once a month, we jump into the DeLorean and take a look at the history of professional wrestling.
And once a month, we look back at actual history with TWiT, This Week in Time.
And once a month, we talk about whatever the f*** we want to talk about.
So please follow us on Twitter at TBSPOD.
And talk to us in the Facebook group, The Bloke Show.
Now, I don't give a f*** what you do. Just listen to this thing.
The next MCW show, if you look past this guy, Mikey and Tommy, kiss MCW goodbye.
Yes, we are back. That was Mini T, who we're going to learn a little bit about here, courtesy of the voice of Melbourne City Wrestling, I guess the Josh Armour of Melbourne City Wrestling, the lead announcer, Travis Houston. Dude, thanks for joining me, man.
Hey, Josh, thanks for having me on. Thanks, you just put a Mini T clip up. Thanks Steve, for that. I'm regretting showing you that already, but
hey, yeah. You know, we had to give a little bit of background before we before we start talking about, because that was, I guess, we were sort of chatting as we were lining this up, just having a little chat about how we got into things, and that was, I guess, your audition for Melbourne City Wrestling. Tell the folks how you did get involved with MCW to begin with.
Well, I've been a huge wrestling fan my whole life. My dad owned a video shop, and so I was always getting the latest videos when they come out. Me and my brother would always, as soon as the new one come out, we'd be getting it. Dad would put the little slip in there and make sure it come home to us. But I didn't really know much about the Australian wrestling scene. I used to go to down at the Macedonian Hall in Epping during the late 90s, used to go down there religiously, but didn't even really know much about it currently. And I had a mate, Kurt, who rang me one day and said, what are you doing? There's a Melbourne wrestling show down in Broadmeadows. Come down and check it out. And so we went down there and really not knowing what to expect. And I sort of watched the show and I was really surprised how good the talent was, how good the production was and everything. And we were driving home and I said, you know what, I want to get into this. I love wrestling and I reckon I would really flourish in Melbourne City Wrestling. But I didn't really know how to get in, so I said to that same mate, I said, how about we sort of put together a little bit of a video and we'll send it to the guys at MCW and see what they say. And my intention when I first did it, I really wanted to be a manager. I've always been on the microphone. I've always doing trivia nights and stuff like that. I've always been very comfortable on the microphone. I thought if I can be a manager, that would be a dream for me. So we went down to Pentridge, down in Coburg down here. Some of your Victorian listeners will know what that is, probably not the South Australian, but and we filmed a video where I was basically a, and it sounds ridiculous now, an Aussie rapper manager. Basically, I was taking over MCW and I was going to find the best guys and I was going to make them the champ and put it all together. And it took me hours putting it all together and I sent it off to the guys at MCW. And I was sort of pacing around the house all that afternoon, like, oh, what are they going to think about it? What are they going to think about it? Now when I look back at it, it just makes me cringe because I didn't know anything about Australian wrestling. I just sort of copied what I've seen on TV. There's an American accent in there. That's why there's only about three people that have seen that, Josh, and thanks for putting it on the air for us.
But that's – oh, no problem. But that's what I love about it when you showed me that was I thought, well, geez, here's someone who's not just standing in a dimly lit bedroom in front of a wall, you know, shouting for 3 minutes. Like, here's someone who's really serious about this, has taken the time to come up with a character and then put such a creative spin on it and then present that as like, hey, here's what I can contribute, you know, whether it's by the bit of video stuff that, you know, the editing there or whether it was the character, just the overall, I think for a first audition piece, it's pretty bloody good. I mean, a lot of people would kill to have something like that as their first piece of material in the business, really, these days at least, you know.
Yeah, well, that's exactly right. If I do something and I'm passionate about it, I'll put everything into it. And it may not have been the best promo, and I'd be happy if you got rid of that after this interview. But I sent it off to the guys, and they sort of said to me, listen, a rapper manager's not really what we're sort of chasing, but how about you come down to training? And I sort of thought, all right, we'll go down to training. My brother was also, who also lifelong wrestling fan, so we went down to training and went down to George Julio's gym down there. I learnt pretty quickly that wrestling's not for me. That first back bump, and it was pretty quick that I knew that wrestling wasn't what I was going to do. I was running the ropes, and I'm no athlete, and I was thinking the whole time, I just wanted to be a manager. Why am I at wrestling training? And I sort of realised that at the stage when I didn't know anything about Aussie wrestling, I thought, I'll send a video, hopefully they'll just call me up and say, oh yeah, be on the next show. And I realised that night that the amount of work that it takes, that all these guys that are on RCW shows, that are on MCW shows, these guys work for years. And unless you're in the scene, you probably don't know that, how hard these guys train, how passionate they are. And it's not just any guy can, like, for instance, when I was at training, there was guys like Cousin Ali training with me, and this was years ago, and he just had his debut show like last Saturday, and it just shows, and he's been training week in, week out. Now it's moved up the scale to Vicious Pursuit Wrestling Academy, but just shows the dedication and the time that you've got to do, and it really separates the guys that just want to play wrestler to the guys that are really passionate about it.
Yeah, I guess there's some people that, you know, if they're new to indie wrestling as well, and then they go along to a show, I mean, they might see the you know, guys and girls that are put together and are really, really fit, and they might think, oh, they obviously hit the gym 3-4 times a week, but they're also hitting the ring 3-4 times a week, like training in the ring.
Probably went to training 2 days, and now all of a sudden they're on a show, and it just doesn't work like that. You can't – the things you see on an MCW show or an RCW show or any independent wrestling show – you can't learn that overnight. That takes years and years and years and dedication, watching what you eat. And I've got nothing but respect for all those guys. And, so anyway, after I sort of learnt that wrestling wasn't for me, I went for a couple of months, and then they asked me to come down and commentate. And, yeah, I thought, that'll be great. They asked me to thing about MCW is they're very particular with their production. As Mikey J, as you know, he's the king of it, and he wants everything to be spot on. So he didn't want me just to walk straight into a commentary booth. He made me put together a bit of a video commentating a match. So I downloaded a match off YouTube, commentated it, sent it off to him to see what he thought, and he liked it. Then I was on a show, and my first show was the Dragonfly show. A couple of months later, Mikey sent me a message saying, how would you reckon you'd go with being an announcer? And he said, do you want to put together a bit of a spiel and send it to me? And I did that, and he liked it, and yeah, here I am. So I'm the announcer and the commentator and loving every minute of it.
And that's a really cool part about, and we're going to talk about it as well, the fourth anniversary extravaganza, which you can get, folks, on Vimeo. It's vimeo.com/Melbourne City Wrestling or M City Wrestling. I'll get the proper URL up here because I don't want to have Mikey yelling at us. You know what's going to happen? vimeo.com/Melbourne City Wrestling. I think that's just like the Facebook page there. So you can hit that up. And yeah, watching the fourth anniversary show, it was, I mean, the production of that show and the presentation of it for the video on demand, it looks and sounds incredible. Even there's little teasers in there for, you know, folks such as like the serial killers from Adelaide, Jag and Jonah Rock coming in, even just little vignettes like that come in halfway through the show are just so well put together and really give it that professional feel that, you know, if you're going to put something out there and, you know, it's what, $8-$9 to rent it and then $15 to actually buy the file, it is money well spent. It's a bloody good show and enjoyable to watch. And a lot of that is to do with the fact that, you know, the commentary is there and you guys are a great team, you know what I mean? You really get the passion across, and it's so much easier if you're new to characters like Cousin Ali and Emmanuel and Lockie Hendricks, guys like this. You guys instantly put across the emotion that they have for the product through your passion that comes out. And I think it's fantastic. It's really good.
Yeah, and that's exactly right. And look, a lot of people, they see the video on demand, MCW Encore, and I thought it was a great idea from the first time I heard of the idea. And they probably think it's going to be some backyard little wrestling fair with horrible production and all that sort of stuff. I guarantee you, just download one event, whether it be a couple of Saturdays ago, the fourth anniversary extravaganza or Ballroom Brawl, and you'll see a team that just click together, and you've got guys that are passionate and you've got guys that are doing what they're good at. Like Mikey J, we spoke about his field is TV, is film production, TV production, filming. He's who cuts it, he films it. Then you've got Paul Jones doing the sound. We've got Chris Fresh backstage, who just has a great mind for just writing, being the creative side of wrestling.
It's a DCW Variety Hour reunion. That's what it is.
it is. But you've just got it, just, and it just clicks. And I actually had the privilege to watch Dark Days the other day. I thought I'll check out Riot City Wrestling. And you guys, you can tell just from the first second, it's exactly the same. It's a fantastic show. You can tell that the lighting's awesome. Your entranceway, I'm very envious of. That looks great. And it's the same deal. I think it's come a long way where it's not just a couple of guys just with a ring in the middle of a basketball stadium and that's sort of it. Now you got lights, you got pyros, you got commentary, you got some of the best wrestlers in the country, if not the world, battling it out. It's really good. And I reckon anyone, all the Riot City Wrestling fans, if they want to check out MCW, get one of them events and I reckon you'll be hooked.
Yeah, I was very impressed with the overall presentation of it and as well as the card. I mean, like, I've seen a few of the MCW shows and DVDs throughout the years, but this was, I guess, the most recent one that I've seen.
Yeah, that's
and
right, yeah.
What really impressed me was the structuring of the card as well. Everyone was in their spot and they were loving, you know, the role that they were playing in their spot on the show. And even like, you know, that three-way girls match, the women's match with Toni Storm, Miami and Casey Cassidy, that was a bloody blinder. That was
yeah,
awesome.
Yeah, it was. Yeah. Toni Storm, I'm a big fan of Toni Storm. I've never seen someone come in and so quickly be so over with the crowd. Like, the first time she was ever on an MCW show, the crowd loved her. And every time that music hits, they're up and dancing. And, yeah, Toni Storm, they love her. Casey Cassidy, she's got that star look about her. You can just tell she's fantastic in the ring. The women's division of MCW and Australia is really, really good at the moment. they're competing every single week in all these different federations, and that experience, it's not just a hobby. Like they're putting their lives into it, and that's how you're going to get noticed. And yeah, nothing but respect for the women as well. The division is very healthy at the moment in Australia.
And with the announcing sort of things at MCW, when you sort of you head out there and you're about to kick off the show, because that's the thing for us announcers, like we're the first thing that people see and hear, besides obviously the production, the music, but we're that first representation, I guess, of the company, you know, You know, in a human form. What's the feeling that you get when you head out there? Because, I mean, I know for me, there's a countdown clock that hits when there's about 3 minutes. I think it's about 3 minutes until showtime. And there's this hip-hop sort of beat, this, like, beat that you can really sort of bounce. You can really,
you're bouncing off to the ring.
It gets the adrenaline going. And I find as soon as I hear that, it just, I change. I'm like, I'm ready for showtime. Do you get into the zone going out there, or is it just like, all right, showtime, here we go, and you rock out there?
Yeah, no, definitely get in the zone. As soon as, like, when I first started announcing, I'll never forget, I walked out there, and the first thing I heard was, "We want Bass." And I was like, oh, God, I don't feel who was the announcer before me. And I was like, oh, God. And then that night, they decided to change around one of the entrances, and the message didn't get to me, so I announced Tommy Hellfire, and it wasn't him, and then I got a "You effed up" chant, and I thought, oh God, this is not for me, man. But now, the MCW fan, now I've sort of been doing a few shows and all that sort of stuff, they know who I am, they know my name, there's a bit of a cheer, and I can get a bit out of them when I go out there, and when they start an MCW chant or something, it's, in a way, it's sort of like they're chanting for me, like they're chanting for the promotion, but it's, we're all trying to get everyone fired up for the show that's about to start, and yeah, it's a really good feeling.
You know what it's like when you head out there and you've got a, you know, a packed house, or you've got, you know, a crowd of 200-300, and it's like, all right, it's really easy to feed off that energy. But then sometimes when you've got a crowd of, you know, 100 or less, or one of the Academy shows, like, it's, you really got to muster up that thing of like, all right, those people have paid as well, you got to give them the same effort and the same energy. And yeah, sometimes it is hard, but it's just one of those sort of things. Do you find it harder with the smaller crowds to get them to that hype point?
You're 100% right. The Tullamarine Public Hall, that's probably our smaller venue, is definitely a lot harder to try and get everyone amped up than what, say, a Thornbury Theatre would, or the Ukrainian Hall in Essendon, 100%. But yeah, you just got to do what you can do, and, well, I sort of look at, if I can get a few people amped, they're going to be amped for the rest of the show. And yeah, I'll probably go a little bit overboard sometimes when I'm in there, but yeah, just the adrenaline of the crowd, and as soon as you start to hear them cheer, it's very addictive, and really enjoying announcing at the moment. Didn't think I'd ever be a ring announcer, but yeah, really enjoying it.
Do you think there's still room down the line to sort of divert into managing, a bit of a heel turn at the desk, and throw a bit more colour? I mean, you already do. That's one thing I find that you know, is really, it's a really good partnership that you've got at the desk there, where it's just, you both provide the colour, but also the play-by-play. I think it's like you're both able to get across whatever message needs to be sort of put across, which I think is really cool.
Yeah, I've been very fortunate, like, as I was sort of learning the commentary caper, to have Andy Coyne with me, he's commentated over in England, he's commentated events with CM Punk and all that sort of stuff. Like, he's very experienced commentator, and I think he's really, just commentating with him has really improved me as well. And I think we've got it to the stage now where we do have a very good chemistry, and some of the lines he comes up with, I need to read his book of lines. I think the last event he said, there was a big chop, and he said, "I was like a meteorite hitting a fat cow." Just turned around, like, "How do you come up with this stuff?" But nah, he's very good, and yeah, I love commentating next to Andy.
And the cool thing with the VOD as well is that, I guess, you guys, because you don't do the difference between MCW commentary and RCW is, with at Wright City Wrestling, we do it live in the building, purely because the fans have been so used to it for the last, I don't know, 7-8 years of the promotion. You know, it's always been there, so that's always been a feature. And but what with the VOD, what I like is that you guys still take advantage of the fact that, okay, you guys are at the desk, we need content for VOD, so, you know, like, for instance, New Horizons, Mike Burr will just come out and
you know, give you guys hell and scare the bejesus out of you. Like,
yeah, yeah.
Why not?
I think both have got their pros and cons. Like, I've been to PCW shows and all that, and they did the commentary over the speakers as well. And when I was watching your show, I think for the new fans, it helps get the new guys over. So I can sort of see why promotions would want to do it. You've got someone new, like if, for instance, you have Emmanuel coming out, no one really knows anything about him, you can sort of put over the gimmick that he is a rich kid, he's a snob and all that sort of stuff. And I guess that helps, but yeah, definitely for the video on demand, it definitely comes across better just recording it straight to tape.
Oh yeah, definitely. Especially when you guys were describing Emmanuel, saying how, you know, he has had a privileged life and he thinks that he's God's gift to wrestling as he sits up there on the top turnbuckle, just lays back, you know, just all nonchalantly, like not a care in the world because I'm a rich kid who's now got a spot in Melbourne City Wrestling. Look at me. But you guys help amplify that part of the story, you know, which is just, it's such a help. It's really cool. We've actually got a couple of listener questions here, so we're going to get into these before A, I forget, and B, before we talk about 4th anniversary on VOD. Ross Lee Turnbull, hey Ross, he's asking, what is your dream MCW card?
A full card, eh? alright, so we'll have, alright, we'll, I think Carlo Cannon's a fantastic champion, so we'll keep the belt on him.
Cool. Fantasy probably. Booking, I love this stuff.
Love it.
This is a bit on the fly. I was trying to check out your Facebook page, so I was a little bit prepared. I didn't see that one. That one slipped under. All right, we'll go, Carlo Cannon. I'm going to go Carlo Cannon versus, he's a guy that's probably not ready for the main event yet, but we'll talk down the path against Lockie Hendricks. I think that'd be a fantastic match. Lockie's one of the young stars coming up and very, very over for a young kid. Fantastic in the ring. He's just got that X factor about him. And I think Cannon and Lockie Hendricks would be a fantastic match. But we're talking down the track a little bit here.
There's so much potential in Lockie. It's ridiculous. And how old is he? Because he looks so young. I mean,
I'm not sure, to be quite honest. He'd be 18, 19, I'd say. But he's very mature. Like, just meeting him, just talking to him, very mature, very passionate about wrestling. Yeah, the crowd, I've never seen a young guy come in and just be so over. And I think he's going to be sort of the future of MCW in a few years' time. So my fantasy booking, I'll book it a few years in advance. Carlo Cannon's still got the belt. It's been a long reign against Lockie Hendricks.
The 8th anniversary extravaganza, maybe.
yeah. And you know what? We'll make it a ladder match. And then I would also like to see, which is a match that I like to see the young guys come up. So we'll go a match that we're actually building, which is actually sort of building in the pipeworks. We'll go Elliot Sexton versus Cousin Ali. That are the two big Goliaths.
That'd be good. That'd be good. Just because, like, Ali's so huge and Sexton is so... he's big, but he's so bloody strong as well. That would be a massive strongman battle. That'd be awesome.
He is. And I know, I don't know how hard Ali's worked. He's like I was saying before, when I was going to train all these years ago, he was one of the more experienced guys in there. And it's great to see him getting his shot, and he's very, very good. My third match will go. This is a match that's actually gone on a lot, but I love watching it. JXT versus Josh Shooter. They had a best of three battle over the last couple of months, and they just click in the ring together. And the crowd love JXT. They hate Josh Shooter, so the crowd really get involved. You've got all the kids who love JXT. That'd be another fantastic match as well.
He's really got that, I don't know, I guess that appeal that young fans have or had even back in the day towards someone like a Jeff Hardy. You know, just that young, fiery baby face that at the same time is not going to take any shit. You know, he's going to go out there and fight for his honour. It's good
stuff. That's right. When I used to go down to the Epping at the Macedonia Hall, I remember there was a guy, Chucky, there. And he's sort of this generation's Chucky. I know if I was a 12-year-old kid going to an MCW show, JXT would be my favourite. I'd be wearing the purple shirts. I'd be putting my hands up in the big X. He's that guy. And he's the John Cena sort of superhero guy. And, that's JXT's, really good. And we'll have a women's match in there. I might steal one of yours, Demi Bennett, and we'll put her against Casey Cassidy. I think that'd be a fantastic match as well. I'm a big fan of Demi Bennett.
She's amazing. She's absolutely great. She's done that women's title
very proud down here, done some good stuff.
Yeah.
And she's got so many fans already. It's ridiculous.
She does, yeah. Once again, she's another one that was just over as soon as she came in. And she's just got that... she's only been on a couple of shows, but she's just got that star power about her. And I've seen Elliot Sexton put on his Facebook. He put on a picture. I don't know if you've seen it, where when she was a kid at an independent wrestling show, her dad went up to Elliot Sexton and said, "Oh, can she take a photo?" And there's a photo of Demi Bennett and Elliot Sexton, and she's just a little young fan. And now there's a photo now, and she's holding the RCW title, like women's title. That's gross. And she doesn't look like a wrestler too. If you see her walking down the street, you wouldn't think she's a wrestler, but she gets in that ring and she's fantastic.
I know. So that's what, three, how is that, four matches? That's four matches we've got so far.
Four matches, all right. Next we'll go Josh Armour versus Travis Houston.
Oh, look out. That's gonna be the only match on the card with no bumping whatsoever. Great.
Yeah, I know. No contact at all. Let's just keep it.
A tuxedo match or something like that. Just a weasel suit match or whatever, you know, like that'd be the way to go, I think. Just so that the crowd doesn't have to be put through the punishment of us trying to, or at least me trying to wrestle. I'd never, you know. That'd be brutal.
I normally watch all MCW events back. I probably wouldn't watch our match, I wouldn't think.
Send it in to Matthew and he'll make good use of it.
Yeah.
Botchamania 265, just all about Houston and Armour.
I think if you push me over, I'll be knocked out and crying like a little schoolgirl, so maybe we won't do that.
So, number four again. Number five, brother. Number five.
Yes. All right. We'll go Hardway Inc. So, Mike Burr and Jay Andrews is back. He's back from injury. And we'll put them up against the Armstrong. So, I'll steal a few more guys there.
Ladder match number two, maybe?
Yeah. We can have two ladder matches, can we? Yeah. Let's make another ladder match.
I don't know. What would be good there? Maybe an elimination where one has to go to the back or something and then create some dissension between one of the two. I don't know. Just plant a seed, you know, somewhere to go with it. I don't know. From there.
Yeah. It's not easy writing these cards on the fly. That's how I think. You got to think about the card.
You got to think how we're going to leave things for the card afterwards for the poor bastard that has to book from where we've left off, where you've left off, you see. So that's number six.
Number six. Oh, we'll get Robbie Eagles back in. Love Robbie Eagles. And we'll put him against... We'll do a bit of a speed versus muscle match. We'll put him against the Cremator. And that can be a hardcore match. So that... Yeah, we can... Robbie Eagles can do his dives off the balconies and and get thrown around by the Cremator. I think that'd be a good one to watch.
And Brooks, you can come out and call everyone flogs.
Oh, yeah, I've been...
Because
you
didn't get
booked. I haven't even put Brooks in there. Oh, no.
Seven match card.
Yeah, we've got to have Brooks in there. We'll put Brooksy, and we haven't put Dowie James in there. This isn't easy. Whoever
Brooksy
wrote that question,
v.
give
Dowie.
Me some time.
Hey.
Yeah, all right, let's do that. Yeah, but it's got to move up the card a little bit. I think anything with Brooksy can't open. I think it's got to be in the middle of the card there somewhere. I'm a big fan of Adam Brooks.
Just quietly, how's he coming along size-wise? I saw him the other day at that power trip, and I'm just like, your bloody arms. Like, jeez, what have you been doing? He's like, oh, lifting a bit, you know? Like, a bit. I'm like, where he's come from, you know, a couple of years ago to now, just with his wrestling, the way he presents himself out there. I mean, he's one of those guys that when my dad watches wrestling, he's very picky. And if someone doesn't strike a chord with him, he'll be the first to say that. Don't belong out there, you know, just because it's not, he doesn't like them, you know. From the second he saw Brooksy back in the day when he was, according to the residents of Wright City, Silver's bitch, it wasn't not Michael, it was them.
Yeah.
He instantly knew that there was, you know, there's something there, and just the way he carries himself, the way he looks, his build, the way that his
passion really comes across too. And if I was going to put money on one guy making it overseas, it would be Adam Brooks. I think there'd be a few that could, like, definitely, but Adam Brooks, I don't know, he's just, like you spoke about, like, in the last 2 years since I've been there, when I first got there, he looked like a young up-and-comer. Now he's a true main eventer, and he's got almost every title this country's got. You know, I mean, he's very good, but it's very good your dad watches wrestling too. That's very
good. Yeah, well, I mean, when I was a kid, you know, it was just one of those things where he'd sit there and cheer for the bad guys because I'd always go for the faces and, you know, Brett versus Austin, it was like he loved Stone Cold and then pretty much probably because I love Bret Hart, so that's how rivalry. Yeah, and he'll be brutally honest with his opinions on stuff. So it's always good for feedback at least. He won't mince words. You know.
No, my dad just doesn't get it. My dad, you're still watching this stuff. It's an insult to a man's intelligence, and he would never get it. I've tried to get him into it, but I think he's happy that I'm doing it and all that, but I don't think you'll ever see him at a show or anything like that. He's not the biggest wrestling fan, but yeah.
MCW has been around for 4 years now and still going great guns. It's a real testament to the people behind the scenes, you know, people like Mikey J, who are he's running the shows basically. He's doing, you know, taking care of the video work and then the post production, all this sort of stuff. And then you've got the crew of wrestlers there. It's it seems like now is in Australian indie wrestling, everything's starting to come together for the for the promotions that have been putting on the good shows and developing their talent. You know, one of my big bugbears at the moment is, even though it does get eyeballs on Australian indies, the constant booking of, you know, overseas talent and you do have some promotions out there that maybe aren't developing their own wrestlers and their own talent to the degree that they should be, and instead relying on, you know, every few months having such and such come down. There are people like New Horizons who do it well, and Warzone, and they're really, I think, benefiting the Australian talent here that's working with them. But yeah, I think that's one good thing about, at least I know from experience with RCW and seeing what MCW have done, it's mainly about let's develop our guys so that they are the stars that people want to see. You know what I mean? Like, it's
100%. Yeah, as long as you're using these overseas guys to build up your guys and make them the stars, people should want to go to an RCW show or an MCW show to see Adam Brooks. They shouldn't go there because they want to shake hands with an overseas talent that used to be in WWE, you know what I mean? And I think definitely MCW and a lot of the other promotions, they're getting to that stage where you see the kids and all that walking around and they want to get autographs off Lockie Hendricks and they want to get autographs off Adam Brooks, and that's what it should be about. They should be the stars. And if you do bring someone in, just make it to get our guys over. And I think we've sort of been in the shadow of Australian wrestling just trying to be American wrestling. It's its own identity, and I'd hate to see us, like, the American wrestling at the moment, we've got Grumpy Cats and all that being guest hosts and all that sort of stuff. Well, I really think American wrestling is sort of going a little bit downhill, and I reckon Aussie wrestling is definitely going up.
It's one of the things that, for instance, this week I haven't watched Raw, I don't plan to. The Americanized, I should say, wrestling and the way that it's seeped through, you know, to everywhere else, including Australia. The problem that I've got is that every match as well, like, every match has that same pattern. And thankfully, you know, if you've got characters and people out there that can work the crowd, can still maintain that passion throughout the entire match with the fans and engage them, that's great. But, you know, half the time it's, you know, waiting for the comeback and then the finish, you know, and especially in a main event, you know that someone's going to kick out of two or three finishes. And for me, after Mania 14, 15, around that sort of as the 2000s started, where, you know, as soon as the Rock and Stone Cold were kicking out of each other's finishes two, three times, then it was like, okay, now everybody's going to do it because that's the standard. And I think that...
Yeah.
I think that it's time to re-educate fans on how wrestling can be done, you know? It's put over those finishes and make them mean something so that, for instance, at WrestleMania 14, let's just use that as an example, okay? Back then, it was that way where somebody would hit a finisher and that was it. And that whole match, it was like you're waiting for Stone Cold to hit that stunner from out of nowhere, and then finally when he hit it, Shawn Michaels was not kicking out. He was not going to kick out and then hit a super kick and then cop another stunner. And then he got the stunner. That was it.
That's half the fun of it.
Exactly right. And for me, it's just... as soon as the finisher is not over, then you've lost, especially as a wrestler, as a worker, you've lost a big tool, I think, in your arsenal. But what's your take on that? Because I'm bored with the presentation of a lot of matches these days.
I agree with you 100%. I think another reason why people are getting bored, and we're sort of going a bit off Aussie wrestling at the moment, but I think they're overexposing their talent. Got so many shows on, and like you go back to when Stone Cold and The Rock were on, but Stone Cold and The Rock weren't wrestling every single Raw and SmackDown. Like I remember there was one Raw and it was Stone Cold versus Kane, and me and my mates were so pumped. I can't believe Stone Cold's wrestling on Raw. Like this is awesome, and less is more, and that made the guys such big stars. Now you got John Cena and you got all the bigger guys, and they're wrestling every single show, every single house show, every single not so much SmackDown, but every single Raw. You have them on a pay-per-view, and they don't feel, it's not an attraction to see John Cena, and that's why they've got to, when they've got WrestleMania, they've got to bring all these other guys in, because they're the attraction, like the guys like The Rock and all that, Brock Lesnar, and it feels like a big deal because you don't see them compete much, and I don't know if they can pull themselves back from that, because they're all about TV ratings, and they start to, like, Dolph Ziggler and stuff should be main eventing Raw, and then John Cena and Brock Lesnar and all that should only be competing in pay-per-views, and that's how it's always been, but they've sort of gone off that a little bit.
And that's kind of the way that they've, at least WWE, they've sort of booked themselves into a corner over the last, you know, 8-10 years, where now this is what people are used to, is just seeing, they're used to seeing these name wrestlers on every show. Yeah. Now when they're not there, people are going to say, like, oh, well, you know, they see a squash, and some of them have been done really well, like the whole Rusev thing. I thought that was
yeah, yeah, exactly. That's how guys should be built up. Yeah, and then you have guys like Wyatt who comes in and all of a sudden he's fighting Cena, and where does he go from that? Like, you've got to start at the US title and slowly work your way up, and that's how it's always been done, and yeah, they've sort of forgotten some key rules of wrestling, I think.
And then you've got those same matches that happen over and over as well. So by the time the pay-per-view comes, you think, well, I saw this last month on pay-per-view and I saw it 4 weeks before that, you know, in consecutive shows, you know. So you think, well, what's the appeal, you know? I'm debating whether I'm going to be watching Survivor Series this year or dedicating that 3 hours to, you know, an old NWA show or something, you know, or some world class, you know, because it just, yeah, it's and that's what was so refreshing about when I sat down and watched, you know, the MCW on demand show, was that the fourth anniversary extravaganza, was that it was something nice and refreshing and different, with different characters and people out there that are, you know, going out there and doing their thing. People like, for instance, a Mike Burr. You know, he's not the most jacked guy out there, and he's not the biggest, you know, high flyer. He's not like Lockie Hendricks, you know, who can probably do a 450 at will whenever he wants to. Like, 450 now. Yeah, no worries. Sweet. Bang. Wow. How did you do that? Mike Burr is one of those guys that you legit think is going to kick your ass. He's just got that quality about him. The match that opened fourth anniversary with this Mike Burr versus Lockie Hendricks, that was a very cool opener, and a lumberjack match too.
That's it. And MCW, they've been building, like we were talking, WWE aren't doing it. They build up these matches for ages. They didn't, like Lockie Hendricks and Mike Burr, that feud has been going on for months, and then it all happens and it's a big deal. You know what I mean? They don't just skip to it where in the first segment of the show, Mike Burr slaps Lockie Hendricks and all of a sudden there's a match later. It's all building. And that's all to do with Chris Fresh and Jay Andrews, who's behind the scenes writing these shows, and they're doing a really good job, and it's really getting the crowd involved. The crowd are very emotionally invested in all these matches and these feuds. And
you had a heap of lumberjacks on the outside there. You got Smart Casual, who I guess are they the quote-unquote comedy aspect of MCW at the moment? Just that fun, lovable act that you
Well, they are.
Behind.
They come out there and they take their selfies, and it's just one of the things where the crowd look forward to Smart Casual. Is it? We've got a guy down at MCW shows, and he calls himself the Smart Casual fan guy, and he just holds up Smart Casual signs every single event, and he's their biggest fan. And yeah, the guys. Well, Julian, who's Pierce Carter, was also at the training school when I was there. So I've sort of seen how hard he's worked and how much he's transformed his body to become a fantastic wrestler. And they just needed that something to click. And they pulled out their cameras and started taking selfies with people, and that they are one of the loudest ovations when you see them come out. Everyone wants a selfie with them. They load them up to Instagram and all that, so everyone gets on their Facebook and all that sort of stuff, and they can see the selfies that they've taken. It's a really good idea, and yeah, good on them. And I think that was their idea too. I could be wrong about that, but yeah, very good idea.
And so in this match, Mike Burr, Lockie Hendricks, and yeah, like I said, it was a really cool match, a really good way to start the show, especially having the Lumberjacks out there as well, and a little extra sort of entertainment. You know that there's going to be a bit of a happening on the outside, you might say, between the Lumberjacks. You also had, I think, Miami and Tony Storm out there as well, representing. Yep. So they were getting into
JXT
it.
JXT was out there.
And that was before, you know, a lot of these talents were actually in their own matches on the card. So, So we had the Lumberjack match opening, and then Cremator and Vixen defeating Sarah Monro and Tommy Hellfire. And as we were saying earlier with Vixen, she is one of those one-of-a-kind wrestlers. You know, she's the hardcore bitch, and the name pretty much says it all right there. That gives you a clear idea of what Vixen is all about. Cremator, he's a veteran who we've got to get on the show at some point to have a chat about his time in wrestling. Sarah Monro, she's recently turned heel and is sort of on the side there with Tommy Hellfire. What happened with Sarah? What's the go there?
Well, Sarah came out and she's basically got Tommy Hellfire under a bit of a spell. Tommy Hellfire turned, and it was all because of he's obsessed or he's under the spell of Sarah Monro. And yeah, she's fantastic in that role, and Tommy Hellfire, now a bad guy. He was once the sort of the face of the company. Everyone loved him, and now those two are together, and she just sort of squeals her demands at him, and he follows like a little puppy dog.
I tell you, I've seen Tommy Hellfire in action in person. We're talking about, it would have been at least 3 odd years ago down here in RCW. He wrestled, I think it was Matt Basso. He has such a presence about him when he's out there. He just looking and go, he's the real deal, you know. I think he's really fantastic. Beyond the fact that he knows what he's doing in the ring and he can go, but he's just got that presence about him, you know. Anyone that comes out to Motley Crue gets my vote. So, hey.
Well, when I went to the wrestling school, he was the first one that greeted me, and I was like, oh god. Man, you can imagine, I was this nervous little kid just going to that just sent a rap manager video, and I was like, wow, I'm
ready for death.
With this guy. he's fantastic, Tommy Hellfire, and yeah, that teaming is very good because Sarah Monro, she just flipped the switch, and yeah, she's fantastic in that role. She's a different person when she's out there.
And a few months ago, we had our mate Luke Sicari on the show, and he reviewed an MCW show that he attended, and there was a match there. I think it was Miami versus Tony Storm, and he said it was one of the best matches he'd ever seen.
Was it Evie versus Tony Storm?
You are right there. Correction,
yeah,
my bad.
Evie,
it was Evie.
Evie and I 100% agree with him. Evie and Tony Storm had a match at Craigie Burn, and the whole crowd were just involved in that match. That was one of the best matches I've ever seen, men or women. And yeah, I actually, as soon as I went back in the ring, I just said, what a demonstration of women's wrestling, and the crowd just erupted like 100%. That was an amazing match.
And in this match, the three-way, you've got a perfect trio of competitors here, because you've got Casey Cassidy, who is, you know, like you said, is that just that girl that, you know, the crowd gets behind. She's the fan favorite, and you know, everybody just wants to see that good young girl get out there and get the win. You've got Miami, who's part of Hardway Inc. She's a badass. I mean, she was a babyface down here for years. She was the party star to Miami, and it was the fans just loved her to death. And then when she came down here for a City Chicks show, and she'd just done the heel turn, and seeing her in gimmick, and even when I sat down to chat with her, she was just like, she was on when I was sitting down to chat with her for the podcast, and I was like, whoa, you know, this is a side of her that I've not even seen before. Well, it was amazing, the transformation, and it suits her to a T, I think.
She just does that look, and she does it to the crowd, and it just just look at her and say, you're a bitch. She just has that thing about her, and yeah, it really works well because the crowd at MCW hate her.
And Josh Shooter, we're out there with Miami, of course. He's like another one of these guys who's transformed so much in 2-3 years. He's wrestling, his body. He's spent time over at Booker T's over in Houston, and you know, really, really spending time getting the craft down. Because you know, he, I know for a fact, he wants to be regarded as, you know, one of the best in Australia, if not, you know,
well, that's
the
yeah.
whole place. I mean,
he's another one. I'd put him just behind Adam Brooks that I could see making it overseas. You can just tell he sleeps, eats, and breathes wrestling. And I was told when I just got to MCW that Josh Shooter will do anything for the promotion. He'll do anything to help independent wrestling. And he's everywhere. You see him all over Australia, always performing everywhere. And yeah, he's a guy that I think he's just got that work ethic and that desire to make it. And I think he will.
So exactly what he's saying there, that he can bring to the card whatever is needed, whether it's an opening match with a few comedy spots, you know, with the hand down the trunks, that whole thing, or whether it's, you know, in a hardcore match with Grimm, where he, you know, was through thumbtacks and did an elbow off of the scaffolding through a table. I mean, it was a side of Shooter that I hadn't seen before, you know. It was Josh Shooter in a hardcore match. Well, I know he can go out there, but I Josh Shooter in a hardcore match, and he bloody delivered, you know. He delivered all right.
He's another one that's got that sort of it factor too, where when I was just a fan of MCW, going to all the shows and all that sort of stuff, I looked at Josh Shooter and I thought, I would really not like this guy. he just had that arrogance, and that just the way he portrays himself is just, I don't like this guy at all. And he doesn't have to say a word. All he has to do is just a glimpse or sort of throw his sweat down on whoever he's competing against, but he's just got that unlikable factor when he's out there, which you can't teach that. That's you either have that or you don't.
I still owe him Subway too. Hey Shooter.
Ooh.
I'm still aiming for this to be the longest running backstage gimmick angle in Australian indie wrestling, so I'm just trying to sort of keep it stringing along. So, mate, I'll get you a sub, whatever you want.
We just said some very nice words about him, so maybe you can call it truce now.
I don't think so. It's just Shooter wants a sub, you know that. So anyway, and also right, Tony Storm in one day, and Tony Storm in this match as well. She is just one of the things that I really dug when I first saw her down here in Adelaide was the fact that, like, she's always sort of changing, and you know, she was doing the Kung Fu Blonde sort of gimmick there, where she was doing more of the comedy Karate Kid style sort of stuff, you know, just. Being so entertaining, but then she can still wrestle. In this match, there's also that her personality that comes out, which is the real Tony Storm. I mean, if you've met Tony and you spent 5 minutes with her, then you know that the character out there, that is Tony. She's all about fun and doesn't take herself too serious, but you know, she, when it comes time to wrestle, it's time to go. And this match, I can't say enough good things about it. They had the crowd from start to finish. Bloody good match. I was really impressed. Loved it.
Yeah. The Ukrainian Hall, fantastic venue too. It's a new home of MCW. And yeah, fantastic turnout for the first event too. And you can hear, like, you've seen it, that the crowd in that hall was, they were electric.
That's really the Ukrainian Hall. Is that the one is that the venue at Essendon? Is that right?
Yeah, that's it. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Essendon, Victoria. And also we've got a tag team match that was on this show. You've got Elliot Sexton and Mr. Juicy versus Cousin Ali and Emmanuel. And Juicy and Sexton, you couldn't ask for a better combination of characters here. And also the fact that I know, you know, Elliot Sexton has been working a lot with Mr. Gambino, Mr. Juicy, to, you know, to sort of get him up to scratch as far as physically, because, I mean, like, the amount of weight that this guy's lost, I don't know if we can call him Mr. Juicy pretty soon, because he's gonna be all trim and buff. I don't know. We're gonna call him Mr. Protein Bar. What? Like, it's
yeah.
He's doing a fantastic job smashing it.
When he lost all that weight, I thought, what is your gimmick gonna be? Like, what are people gonna like? He was always the sort of lovable fat guy. Like, that was his gimmick. Yeah, we won't sugarcoat it, but he is.
Oh, he won't. So I mean, we may as well not.
He's trimmed down so much, and to his credit, he's also changed his whole personality. Like, I think he's actually happier too now. He's wrestling is a hell of a lot better, and he's not the sort of joke gimmick wrestler anymore. He's like, as PWI, he's in the top 500 in the world. Like, that's nothing to sneeze at. And the crowd still love him. He doesn't have to be the joke anymore with KFC buckets on his head and sort of stuff. He can be a legit fighter in the ring that's entertaining. And, yeah, real credit to Mr. Juicy, because he's really turned everything around.
And you know that he's doing something right when he can be wrestling half the match with 3 inches of bum crack showing, and yeah, you're not yeah, even, you know what, you're still like, come on, Mr. Juicy, come on. You're not like, oh, God, pull your pants up. You're like, you can do this. It's just like he's really got a knack for reeling people in and making them not only believe in Mr. Juicy, but, you know, when he comes out there, you're going to be entertained. And when you leave, you're going to say, what do you remember? Mr. Juicy, he was fucking awesome. Like, and that is my reaction every time I've seen him at a Wrestle Rampage show here in Adelaide, or, you know, even watching this show. I was just like, yep, Juicy, awesome. And Elliot Sexton, like, he's an absolute beast. He's one of those guys that you look at and go, why aren't you making a shitload of money somewhere pro wrestling? Like, 100%. Why? You know, it's amazing to me. But
and how good is it when all the crowds stamp their feet to We Will Rock You to Sexton Rocks? That, who, I don't know whose idea it was to give him that theme music and get that up on the screen, that Sexton Rocks, but that's genius, because the crowd, when you're in that Cranium Hall and everyone's stamping their feet and clapping, that's, the whole place was shaking. They love Sexton.
Hey, EPW Adelaide 2006, his entrance music, the 90210 theme. Best entrance ever. Amazing. Fucking awesome. And then on the other side here, you've got Cousin Ali and Emmanuel. We talked a bit about them earlier. Emmanuel, the privileged God's gift to wrestling, and of course Cousin Ali, the big brute, the sort of, you know, the guy that you know, Emmanuel's going to put in front of him, just stand behind him and go, yeah, that's right, yeah, go on, yeah, take me on now, come on, yeah, yeah, that's right, get through him first, yeah, come on. Just a perfect, and those introductory vignettes that were showing on YouTube and through the Melbourne City Wrestling pages a few months ago when he came into MCW, those were so well put together and really, really classy. It instantly told you a story about this character and made you want to see him get his ass kicked.
Yeah, and he looks that character and he acts like that character. that's what's very good. And like, he's just got that look too. Like, everyone always said, you got to have the look in WWE to make it and all that sort of stuff. But he does. He's just got that look. Like, my wife come down to an MCW show. She comes down now and then. And I said to her in the way home, oh, who's your favorite? She's like, oh, the hot guy. I was like, yeah, the announcer can't be your favorite. And then, yeah, she loved Emmanuel. And that's the thing. Like, he's just got that look. There's going to be girls in the crowd that are going to love him and want to see him at shows, and there's going to be guys that are going to want to boo him. And yeah, no, very good character, and he's very talented.
Really fun tag match, and yeah, like I said, just so easy to get behind Juicy and Sexton. You know, you just want you want to see them win. So
just,
good
just
stuff.
The things with the build up with Cousin Ali coming in, he didn't come straight in the start. Just that everyone was waiting for him to come in, and then when he finally did, it was a big moment. Like they really did well in that match. That was a fantastic match.
Oh, there's nothing like him just laying a clothesline into Juicy and then him just standing there like expressionless, just like this, kind of like those big bouncers that you run into at the front of a nightclub who just like have no expression, no neck, and they're just, you know what I mean? Like they're just there. Sorry?
He is a big bouncer at a nightclub.
Oh, shit, there you go. I'm not getting express entry then, I'm screwed.
I was at about 6 months ago and he was a security guard standing there. I was like, Ali, let me in. And he's like, oh, your mate isn't wearing shoes.
Come on, it's me.
No, he had thongs on, so, yeah. But we end up getting in. We end up buying some shoes off a guy off the street. Ali couldn't believe it when we went back. But, yeah,
were they
hot? Really good guy.
Were they hot? Were they stolen or not? That is for you guys to guess.
No, we bought them.
Okay, yeah. Late night shopping. You're like, oh, yeah, athlete's foot's open. Rad.
Yeah.
Give me some
really good guy too, Marley. Like, you look at him and you think, wow, this guy would destroy you. But one of the nicest guys you'll ever meet too.
kayfabe. Yeah. No. JXT, Crackerjack here. It was quite the controversial circumstances. We'll just leave it at that and let you guys see how it played out, because you won't believe the ending when you see it, folks. But this is a really cool story that has played out here with Crackerjack and JXT, basically over the number one contendership, Travis.
Yeah, well, there's been a Crackerjack won the number one contendership. He actually put a fork to my face to force JXT to give him a number one contendership. JXT saved my life and said, all right, I'll give you that match. Crackerjack ended up actually winning the number one contendership, but then threw it away and actually ate it and said, I don't want it.
You ate part of it. Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, and Crackerjack is going a little bit insane. He's always been a little bit unhinged, but you just don't know what's happening inside his head. He's doing some very strange things. He's not right at the moment, and there's something going on with Crackerjack.
It's not the sort of thing that you would expect, especially after him hitting the Britney Spear. And that's the Britney Spear and pin 1, 2, 3, night's over, off to the showers, see you later. But it was, very odd ending. And like we talked about JXT, but let's talk about Crackerjack for a minute, because, you know, folks who were, I guess, new to Australian indie wrestling, and even when I first came in, I knew, you know, I saw a couple of the matches that he had from BPW back then, and Warzone. But then I just, you know, it was like, this Crackerjack character's amazing, but I really didn't know anything about the guy. And now it's been really cool because he's been in the media a little bit. There's been some really cool videos online, whether it's PC Dub or MC Dub, you know, documentary wise. And it's really cool that I guess people are finally starting to know who he is and his story and what he's about, because he's an incredible performer who you believe is just this crazy nut job. And for someone to, it's when people can just reel you in like that. I mean, that's one reason why I guess I pleaded with the bookers at RCW, and I was like, turn me face. I'm not comfortable being a heel, because I didn't feel that I was doing the role justice, you know what I mean? And I didn't feel that I was portraying it convincingly, and then being able to do the payoff. You know, people want to see me get my ass kicked, and it's like, well, I can't bump, so, you know, I can't really do much with it.
We'll leave that for my booking.
Todd Eastman, he's a great asshole, so he fits the bill tremendously. I hope that you guys get to experience some Eastman over there at some stage, because it'd be
I saw some Eastman in that Dark Days. Crackerjack's just, he's got the scars, he's got the eye twitch, he's a guy that, he doesn't have to be in the main event, he can be in an opener, and he's going to be one of the main attractions. He's going to be one of the things that people are talking about in the car on the way home, and that's what's really good about Crackerjack. I've been a PCW, he's been there, and he's been the star there. He's a star in MCW. He's just a star everywhere he goes, and he's just, I still don't think that's a character. I think that's him, and yeah.
He's been at it for a bloody long time, hasn't he?
He has.
The wrestling game, it's a decade or so. It's like just remarkable, the amount of stuff that that he's done throughout the years. And again, another one of these guys, you know, that just over the years they develop their bodies and they develop everything about their presentation. People are really looking like pros now in the Australian scene, whereas 4 or 5 years ago it was like, there was a few around, but then everyone else was sort of striving to get to that
most
spot
of them
where
were fat guys in face paint.
Yeah, that's it. And then people wanted to get to that, you know, that stage of somebody like a Jag or somebody like, you know, the Eagles boys or you know, when just, you know, before Silver left, you know, that was a big thing that, you know, he was really blazing this trail of the fact that, all right, if you go out there and you bust your ass, you can achieve the results you want. He's proving it now. He's been on NXT 3 weeks in a row. I mean, that's unreal, you know.
I remember from that first Bull Meadow show that I went to, that's what hooked me. I'd seen this massive guy doing brainbuster, and all of a sudden he did a flip outside the ring. I was like, oh, I'd never seen anything like that. Like, this guy's huge. Like, he's built like a brick shithouse, and he's doing flips outside the ring. It was that blew my mind. That's what hooked me to MCW. And then he gave me an F5 at wrestling training.
Good times. Painful times. Yeah.
He got me in an FU as well. I reckon I'd still be in it if he hadn't let go. But yeah.
Did he call it, or is it just like, he's a lightweight, I'll just launch him up, he can bump?
Oh, well, they said, he said, say something to me, because he wanted to get the passion going. And I said, oh, you look a lot bigger on the DVDs. And then, yeah, that was it. F5 me. F, yeah,
kick to the gut. Like, bang.
Yeah, that's it. Yeah, I was squealing like a little bitch. But, yeah, Cracker Jack, I think the MCW fans, they know if there's a Cracker Jack match, you don't know what to expect. It's not going to – anything can happen, you know what I mean? And that's one of the exciting things about Cracker Jack. Like, I've seen him in so many matches. I've called so many matches of his, but – you just don't know what's going to happen. And, yeah, but just recently, he's a lot more strange than what he has been, so.
And then we've got two matches left on this card to talk about. We've got the tag team, the MCW tag team titles on the line. You've got the Neo Sovereign Revolution from PWA in Sydney, which is Robbie and Ryan Eagles, going up against the MCW Tag Team Champions, the Loose and the Reckless, Adam Brooks, there you go, Toddy, and Dowie James. And, mate, this is one of those matches that you watch and you go, well, that's as good as anything in Ring of Honor. That's as good as anything in Pete. That's as good as anything anywhere. This tag match was a fucking beauty. I loved it.
Yeah. As soon as I saw that match listed, I thought, wow, this is going to be huge. I was thinking to myself, save your voice, because this match is going to be insane. And yeah, definitely delivered. The whole crowd just, I felt Carlo Cannon and the Messiah had to come after that match, and that would have easily been a fantastic main event. And to Cannon's and Storm's credit, they pulled the house down as well. But yeah, really good tag match, and yeah.
It was that match on the card where, like, you want to see those near falls. You want to see people busting out those death-defying moves one after another too, because, God, it's all about the goal. We got to get the pin. This was one of those matches where all of those, you know, over-the-top spots, they were in place here. Like, this was the time for it. I thought it was brilliant.
Exactly. And us sort of talking about it doesn't do it justice. You got to see it. No, yeah, it's hard to sort of explain just how much energy that match had, how much the crowd were into it, and just sitting there on commentary, it was just like every one of them near falls were getting closer and closer and closer, and you think, fantastic match. I don't know how else to put that.
There was one spot that was playing over in my head, because I watched this match again earlier on, and it was playing over in my head again, this spot, which is where Robbie Eagles was running off the ropes, and you could tell he was going to do either a suicide or a dive to the outside or something like that, and by the time that Robbie has gotten from the middle of the ring to the so he's gone from the middle of the ring, run the ropes, and then come back to the middle of the ring. By the time he's gotten back to the middle of the ring, Adam Brooks in that time, I don't know how he did it, slid in the ring and then threw the most insane running knee. Yeah. It was just one of these spots. It was like, how did he get in there so fast and then execute that so perfectly? And it was just it was one of those moments where, like, whoa, holy shit, I did not see that coming, here's a pinfall. And then it was whoa, I tell you what, it was one of those really, really awesome spots that you remember. I thought it was just, there were so many like that during this match though.
And personally, I really thought that was Dowie James's standout match. I thought he was awesome. Like, that was the best match I've seen him in.
Well, now I get it. Now, because I've only seen really the photos, and to be honest, a few highlight videos of Dowie. I haven't seen that much of him, you know, as far as a full match. And when I saw this, I was like, okay, I get it now. I see what people are talking about with Dowie, you know?
Yeah.
He's good. And then the main event here is Carlo Cannon versus Davis Storm, the Messiah from Perth, and this was for the MCW Championship. Now, earlier in the night, there was an in-ring segment where you're in there with Carlo and talking to him about his title reign and whatnot, and Davis Storm actually making his presence felt with vignettes and sort of just sending a message that he was after the belt. And then Davis Storm attacked Carlo during the segment, and then it was basically when it came time for the main event, Carlo comes out in his singlet and shorts, and you're thinking, surely he wasn't beat down that bad that he can't wrestle tonight. But he wanted a street fight, so he came in just his gym gear, and he's like, well, come on, bring it on. You want to fight me? You want to bring it to the champ? Then let's go. And these two beat the shit out of each other. Crazy.
Yeah, well, I think Andy actually said it on commentary, but it was a really classic, good versus evil. It was, they told the story that Carlo Cannon had the had this guy that was tormenting him and telling doing these vignettes and all that, and then Cannon needed to destroy him, and that it was, yeah, for that reason, I reckon that was a really well done storytelling match. And then vignettes, they got me pumped. Like, as a fan, I was watching there, I was like, who the hell is this guy, and why is he after Carlo? I just don't know. And yeah, the fan in me was marking out, and yeah, really good main event. And like I said, would have been really hard to come after that tag match. Credit to them, they pulled out a fantastic main event.
And one thing about Carlo, I mean, he's been on, if anybody, folks, if any of you listening to this this show are familiar with World of Hurt, the Lance Storm, I guess, reality show, if you like, from a couple of years ago. Well, Emma was on that, and Sylvester Lafour, who's in NXT now, he was on there as well. And also Carlo Cannon was a part of that show. And he spent, you know, time over at Carlo's. I know that, he spent time over at Lance's. I know that there was, I think, one time there where Lance couldn't actually take the class, so he put Carlo in charge. So yeah, that gives you an idea of the credentials of this guy. And he's got that, he's done a lot of the heel work down here where the crowds just hate him. But then when you see him go in the ring, you're like, well, all right, he can wrestle, but I still hate him, you know? Yeah. Over in MC Dub at the moment, he is, and I think I mentioned this in our chat, where he's got this ability to just, without the wide eyes and without really exaggerated facials, he can just turn to that front row and just look at them and be able to connect immediately. And yeah, whether
he demands respect, I think, and that comes across when he's in the ring. Like, he's just, his passion is wrestling. He loves wrestling. He trains all the new up and comers at his Vicious Pursuit Wrestling School, and he just demands respect. You can just tell the passion in him, and I think that's really what the crowd have adapted to him.
Yeah,
and he doesn't have to cut these long promos, or he doesn't even have to do anything. He just comes out for a match, and the crowd will be behind him. You can guarantee that.
I won't spoil the main event here in the aftermath of it, but let's just say that with the aftermath of the match here on the fourth anniversary extravaganza, it really left me sitting there as a fan going, where's this going to go? Is everything okay here? Is there going to be some sort of... It really left a lot of questions to be answered and left you hanging for the next event, whether it's live or on the VOD. And the most impressive thing about the VOD was that I believe it was released something like 8 days or 9 days after the event. Yeah. So it's a pretty it's an amazing turnaround.
It wasn't even that. I think it was released on the Friday when the event was the Saturday. So wow. they really got to work, and they got it out when it was fresh. And I hope a lot of people listening here, some of the Adelaide fans and all that sort of stuff, they get the MCW Encore and watch that event, because it's fantastic. And just to see RCW's fantastic and all that, just to see on the other side how we do things, and really recommend it.
Yeah, I loved it from start to finish. I mean, I'll admit, because my dad's not a big fan of women's wrestling, so when we sat down to watch it together, I skipped those matches just because I didn't want to put him offside and didn't want to really leave early. I wanted to sit down and enjoy it with the old man, so I thought, all right, I'm going to watch those two matches later. And when I did, I was like, shit, I really should have shown him that, because that, especially that triple threat, that was an example of wrestling, and they just happened to be amazing women in there doing it, you know. Yeah, it was exactly. Not the 3-minute X Factor filled match from Raw. This was the real deal, and I was just like, wow, I've got to show him this somehow, because he's, you know, you're missing out, Dad. Like, it was just bloody awesome. And speaking of fans down here in Adelaide, we've got a quick question here from Melissa Meisner, who got to get the pronunciation right there, Mel. She asks a question here, which we can actually cover this one. Any chance of an interpromotional night, RCW versus MCW for one night only? Mel, there was actually a rivalry a couple of years ago between RCW and MCW, and that was very, very cool, because anytime you get SA versus Victoria, you can't lose.
Yeah, amazing. No, stuff. I remember I was at the Thornbury Theatre. That was Grimm versus Tommy Hellfire.
Yep.
In a hardcore match, and that was insane. And yeah, it was, I think RCW and MCW, they're very, very similar in a way where they both had that high standards, and they both had that fantastic training, and I think they're great promotions to actually be in an event together. But it would be a fantastic event, but it's not up to me or you.
Yeah, we might have to meet somewhere at the border and put that one on, I think, just so that everybody could actually get to the show. We would have to do that. But funny story about the old RCW-MCW rivalry. There was, I don't know if you saw any around at the time, but there was a few MCW Sucks T-shirts that were getting around, especially down here RCW shows.
Yeah.
And the story behind that is actually quite funny. Braden, I hope you don't mind me telling this, but it's a laugh, so I've got to share it. Basically, they submit apparel, got some help, we're helping MCW with some merchandise, and they said, yep, we'll do your MCW shirts for you, we'll do a run, no worries. So they got them done and got the design off to the printers and all that. Well, when the printers actually printed the shirts, there was a batch of about a dozen that had, I think it was maybe a dozen or two dozen, I'm not sure, but instead of it saying MCW, it was like the C was almost an O in the middle, you know what I mean. So the C wasn't defined. So there's all these shirts. Then Brad's like, oh, gee, what are we going to bloody do with it? And I can't remember who had the idea, but I don't know if it was maybe even him. It was somebody had the idea of, well, why don't you just put a DX green line across the MCW and just put and put Sucks at the bottom of it? And that's a bloody good idea. So all these botched MCW shirts ended up becoming MCW Sucks T-shirts. The best part was, as soon as they went out in the merchandise stand, they went like that, because all the RCW fans were like, yeah, MCW does suck. I want one of those. And because they were bot shirts, and they were like $10. They were basically at cost price. So it was absolutely amazing that something like that was a stuff up ended up adding to this feud. It was so cool.
And you have it in football, and you have it in cricket and everything. Why don't I have it in professional wrestling? That's South Australians and Victorians, we don't normally like each other. Like, I'm going to talk about behind your back after we finish this.
Hey, keep it down. Keep it down. I'm talking to him now. I'm talking to him now. Just shh. Later. It's all right. Yeah, sorry, Trav. Yeah, anyway.
Yeah, that'd be a really good event. But yeah, like I said, not up to me or you. If it was up to me or you, let's do it. I'll do my car. But whose side's Adam Brooks on?
I think
he's
that's going to be up to
Victorian, but he's your champion, so
whoever gives Eastman more moolah, I think, is the answer at the moment. That's going to be all dependent.
I reckon that's bullshit. We should get him because he's Victorian, I think.
See, Eastman, I think, is from New South Wales, so he doesn't give a shit either way. He's like, as long as I'm getting paid, it's all good. It's all good in the hood.
That's where he started the bit of a robbery, isn't it?
Stel Stalianu from Shoot the Defence, our buddy over there in the UK. Thanks for your support, bud. He's actually got a sort of, it relates to Australian indies in a way. TNA British Boot Camp has been a massive success in the UK. Do we think Australian indie fans would get excited about a TNA Aussie Boot Camp competition? First of all, Stel, if TNA's around in 8 weeks' time, then maybe we might. But I don't. Their future doesn't look bright to this second. We still don't have any word on whether they've got a new home, whether even the entire month of December is going to have those TNA, you know, highlight shows that they're talking about running. Because holiday scheduling, I think they may end up showing two of those or three at the most. So look, if The problem here, Stel, at the moment is that, especially with, the TV deal in the States, and then that's also, it's affected things here as well, because I guess the program is on Foxtel, who, you know, have the Fuel channel and all these channels that, you know, show the wrestling and whatnot. I guess they don't have the faith at the moment because they don't know the future. So, you know, if they're bumping the show for surfing competitions or running it at 12 o'clock on a Saturday afternoon, you know, so it's really hard to... but let's say if TNA thrives into 2015, it would be awesome because, I mean, you look at the exposure that it's given people like Spud, even Marty Skrull and the Blossom Twins. I mean, you know, a lot of wrestling fans knew who they were after that. So anything that, like the GF Dub partnership with all the promotions down here, anything that gives our guys more exposure and girls more exposure, I'm all for, so...
Yeah, and the other thing I think it does too, it's if Mr. Non-Wrestling Fan does watch it, he realises, it sort of makes them realise how hard it actually is. Like, it's not just a joke fake sport, you know what I mean? Like, they watch the training that they've got to go to and how long they've been doing this craft, and I think it really puts that across. I think that's another good thing about it. But yeah, have you been watching the TNA shows lately? Sad if they do close, because they actually haven't been too bad. The last month or two, and people would probably slam me for this, but I reckon they haven't been too bad of shows. They've gone back to just simple wrestling, and yeah, I'm rooting for them because I actually don't mind Impact at the moment.
Well, I listened to the reviews, you know, the Brian and Vinny show reviews, and they've been sort of saying the same thing, that, yeah, there's still those things that you look at and go, oh, God, that's TNA, but for the most part, apparently the shows have been... Like you said, they've been getting better. They're more watchable. I haven't been watching them myself, but it would be... I mean, it's funny because people talk about the final couple of months worth of Nitro or pay-per-views even, where, like, you know, I haven't seen those last two pay-per-views there yet from WCW. Butts and Seats podcast, we'll get to those way down the track. But you hear all the time that, oh, gee, well, they were just sort of starting to get back on track with the TV and, you know, the actual presentation of the show, and then, damn, they're gone. So it'd be real ironic if, after all the similarities between TNA and WCW throughout the years, if they actually went out in the same way like this. I mean, like, put it this way, the death of TNA book is writing itself at the moment. So,
yeah, nah,
it's unfortunate, but it's...
Yeah, they just don't have the star power at the moment. I think that's their main thing. They never built really up their own stars. They used a lot of the old WWE guys. Now they can't afford them, so they don't have that star power. But I think overall the writing actually hasn't been too bad. But that's my opinion. People will probably slam me.
Oh, hey, I'm the biggest TNA hater out there, so
I'll let it
slip through. But I mean that's it. I haven't been watching it just because it's just not. It doesn't grab me, you know. It's I can do without Sam Shaw, thanks. You know, like. But TNA. Look, we'll see where they go. But yeah, mate, still, like, anything that gives our guys and girls more exposure, I'd be keen for. Actually, speaking of other promotions like GF Dub, did you hear the news in the last 24 hours or so about Jim Ross is going to be GFW New Japan Tokyo Dome show January 4th. So if you haven't watched New Japan Pro Wrestling before, folks, now is the time to check it out. JR commentary.
Did you watch that? Did you see the video, the quick promo video they played?
No, I actually heard him.
There's a quick video and there's Jim Ross's voice all over it. This is professional wrestling, how it's supposed to be. And man, it pumped me. I'll be watching that. But yeah, it's just good to hear Jim Ross again.
I heard him talking on Wrestling Observer Radio today for about 20-odd minutes, just talking about it and how he's getting prepared and, you know, getting up on all the guys and talking about, I guess, the approach that he's going to be taking, because from his standpoint, like, yes, we want to educate people on these new wrestlers, but at the same time, he wants to just sort of sit there and call the matches and not be doing the WWE thing, which is, you know, just pumping all this storyline and all this other stuff. And then what a maneuver, you know, and then back to telling the story.
Did you watch the boxing match that he commentated?
I saw the highlights of it.
It was the best boxing match I've ever seen.
I hate boxing, but exactly. It made me, because half the time, put it this way, with all the money that's behind boxing and, you know, the shadowy past that it's had. I mean, I look at boxing half the time and I'm like, God, this is more rigged than pro wrestling. Come on, you know, because the amount of money and the especially in Vegas and all that, it's, I don't know. It's, I mean, I guess the origins of boxing came about, you know, it was all from those underground sort of clubs and all the seedy side of, you know.
Yeah.
Of New York
Underbelly.
And The underbelly. That's right.
You like that? Yeah.
It's a Melbourne thing, right? Well, I guess Sydney and, yeah, they've pretty much almost done one in every capital city now. I think, geez, how many have they done? Underbelly series? Gosh. But, oh, yeah, that show's going to be a hell of a lot of fun. January 4th, JR returns to pro wrestling. That's going to be rad. That's
going to be good fun. Very good.
Very good fun. And last question here. Thanks for these ones, folks, by the way. Michael Roach, one of our good buddies and one of our biggest supporters, he's wanting to know, what are some of your favourite moments during your career or even just during your time watching MCW?
Probably interviewing Hardcore Holly was a big thrill for me. Like, I grew up watching Hardcore Holly, and to interview him was awesome. That was the fan in me. As far as an announcer and sort of feeling part of the MCW team, Ballroom Brawl this year, I reckon, was a highlight for me. The crowd really got into it. That place was jam-packed. I went out there and said, welcome to Ballroom Brawl, and the crowd just, I have never heard a crowd like that before. They were just really into it. And then after the show, a couple of the guys said, you did really well, and I sort of, that was the sort of the first time I really felt sort of part of the MCW family, and that I was adding something to the product. I wasn't just a new guy, you know what I mean? And Ballroom Brawl was my favourite event, being an announcer and commentator. But interviewing Hardcore Holly, the fan in me, yeah, really like that. So,
if you had to, I'll just throw one out there. If you had to, I guess, pick one match that sort of stands head and shoulders above the rest. If you had to pick one match or one segment, or, you know,
Peterson Cannon Ballroom Brawl, no doubt about it.
For the MCW title,
yeah, when Carla Cannon won it. And I've actually got people in a room before and shown that, and a lot of people say, oh, what's this wrestling thing you do? And you put that on, they're like, wow, they see the pyros, they see all the excitement, the crowd getting into it, they see two guys that look like pure athletes, and yeah, that's the example. If you're ever going to watch one MCW match, watch that.
There we go. And that was, what was it? It was about a year and a half long title reign.
Exactly. And that's the other part of it too. That's the other part there. That was built up so well, where Carlo Cannon was the champion killer. He was beating champions from everywhere, all over the place. But he had to get that one, the MCW championship, that one he wanted, and Peterson went away for 6 months and trained at Landstorm Academy, and then come back, and then there were still delays and delays and delays, and then it finally happened. And yeah, that is professional wrestling at its best.
Rad. Now, we've got a little bit of time left here, so we should probably talk about some upcoming MCW events that folks in Victoria...
Michael J will kill me if we don't.
Absolutely. And also, folks, if you hear all about MCW and then you watch the VOD and you think, okay, I want to check one out, I think it'd be well worth the drive. I know Todd Eastman headed over. He was over there, absolutely loved it, and I was quite jealous that he actually got to an MCW show before me.
Me and my mates have been talking about doing a bit of a road trip down Adelaide and making a bit of a fishing trip. Do you have fish in Adelaide?
And
yeah, you got fish, yeah.
This is like when I'm talking to one of my American buddies, and they're like, "Oh wow, like you have Dr. Pepper over there." I'm like, "Of course, we're not a third world country. Like, come on, you know."
I'm surprised we have the internet. That's what.
not the best speed in my house, but we have the internet. So hey, we're getting this show done.
that's one thing I definitely want to do: make a bit of a road trip about it and go check in an RCW show. That'd be awesome. So cause I've seen everyone there is to see in Melbourne, and yeah, I think RCW is the next big one that I want to see. So, the show's coming up. We've got MCW Worlds Collide 2014 from the Tullamarine Public Hall. It's actually our last event at the Tullamarine Public Hall. That's on Saturday, November 22nd, and it's hosted by the Loose and the Reckless, the tag champs, who have just they've just gone over a year of having the tag team championship, so they will be hosting it. So Adam Brooks and Dowie James, that'll be very interesting. And of course, you're going to have the backlash from what happened at 4th Year Extravaganza too, so that's going to be a hell of an event. And then the next day, the Sunday afternoon, we've got a fantastic event that's actually for Fight for a Cause, with all profits are going to the Breast Cancer Network Australia. This is an all-women's card, a fantastic initiative, and that's at Arthur Wren Hall in Hampton Park. So I hope all any wrestling fans or anyone that just wants to support a great cause, get down to Hampton Park, support MCW and NHB Girls, because this is a fantastic initiative, and raise some money for Breast Cancer Network Australia. So if you are an Adelaide fan and you want to donate, just contact me through Facebook or contact the MCW page and we'll tell you how, because it'd be great for professional wrestling to make some great money for a great cause.
Yeah, and folks all over the world. I mean, we got people, gosh, all over the UK, the US, New Zealand, Russia, Europe. We got folks in Asia. We got folks everywhere that have been getting on board lately with the show. So, folks, it is definitely well worth supporting and checking out. And NHB Girls, I mean, we always give them the plug and re-Lockwood here on the show. They just doing great stuff promoting the Australian women's scene. It's great.
And NHB Girls have actually got their calendar that has just been brought out, which will be at that event too. So with all the proceeds, once again, going to Breast Cancer Network Australia. So
photography for that one by Corey Lockwood, the number one pro wrestling photographer in the world. I'm not going to say Australia, the world, because his stuff is phenomenal.
He is, yeah. He really brings out MCW in a photo. You see some events you have and they're smoky and they're... And I'm like, how the hell do you get that photo looking so good when you've got pyros and all that going off and smoke and the guys are running at a million miles an hour and he just gets that perfect shot? He's very good. So, but yeah, if everyone could donate to this great cause for Fight for a Cause, and it's once again, it's Sunday afternoon, November 23rd at the Arthur Wren Hall. It's a chance to really give back, so...
And then the night before that, so we've got the Saturday night, the 22nd, at Tullamarine Public Hall, you got Worlds Collide, hosted by Loose and the Reckless, Dowie James and Adam Brooks. I tell you what, there's going to be lots of grog drunk by the flogs on that night. It's going to be absolutely wild. They're going to get Loose and Reckless, all right.
I don't know whose idea that was, but yeah.
I have an idea. And then the following night, that all women's card. And I'll tell you, those girls are going to be busy because we've got the City Chicks Unleashed show in Adelaide this weekend and then Fight for a Cause. So, the girls working as hard as the guys, getting out there, and it's really, really cool that MCW, you know, are putting on a show like this, which on a Sunday arvo, if you've got, you know, plans on the Saturday night and you've got, oh, gee, I've got an anniversary or I've got a birthday to go to or this or that, Sunday... You're covered. You got some wrestling action. Yeah. So it's very cool.
And they actually just announced today that there'll be a tournament in honor of two members of the MCW family who's no longer with us, the Jenny and Vera Cup. So that will be presented that night, and there'll be several qualifying bouts with the winners meeting in the main event for that cup. So it's going to be a fantastic event and really good cause. So I hope the whole wrestling community get behind it. If you can't get there in person, get your donations in, and if you can be there in person, get there.
And do we know if Fight for... Because we know Worlds Collide will be on the Melb City Wrestling page on Vimeo for video on demand. Do we know if Fight for a Cause is going to be captured for VOD?
I would say it would, Josh. I'm not 100% sure on that. I could get back to you on that, but I would say it will, but yeah. Not
keep
100%.
An eye out. There is actually an all-women's card on there from earlier in the year on the
yes,
VOD
there
page.
Is, yeah.
That was not the show where Evie and Tony had their match, was it?
No. That was one where Demi Bennett come down.
That's right.
Yeah. If you just wanted to see that Evie and Tony Storm match that we were talking about, that was at Craigieburn. I'm trying to think of what event it was. I should know that.
I should know because Luke reviewed it on our show, so damn it. I'll cop the blame for that.
But, I'm going to get my ass kicked, but hang on. It was... Clash of the Titans.
There we go. Clash of the Titans. We'll just edit all that. probably won't, but awesome. So, November 23rd, November 22nd, rather, and November 23rd. Get out there in Victoria. Support MC Dub. And, Travis, this has been rad. The voice of MC Dub and the voice of RC Dub. It's been a very, very cool time. I've enjoyed this.
Yeah, so have I, Josh. Thanks for having me. And I'm happy to come on anytime you want me.
Oh,
if you run out of good guests.
Oh, come on now. Actually, if you come over to Adelaide, I might invite you onto the desk to join me for a night. That would be fantastic, cool. I think.
Hook all that right, up. Well, that road trip's going to happen, so... Yeah.
Done. Before I let you go, dude, get your plugs out of the way, man. If people want to get a hold of you on social media, and also give them all the final rundown on where they can see MCW On Demand, the quality... This is what I'm talking about, folks. Quality online content, quality wrestling. If you want to put your money towards some independent pro wrestling, this is it. MCW Encore. Tell them all about it, Trav.
Yeah, well, first thing to do is jump on Melbourne City Wrestling's Facebook page, give it a like. There's always links posted up of new events, so as soon as the event goes on, and like we were saying before, the production team of MCW are so quick at getting it up, so it's not like they bring out the event 6 months after it happened. You have the event Saturday, it'll be out in a week to a week and a half, so it's still fresh, get it out there. And yeah, the MCW Encore is on Vimeo. So if you go through Vimeo, search for Melbourne City Wrestling, there is all the video on demand there, and it couldn't be simpler. You can pay by PayPal or credit card, or click on that. Within seconds, you'll be watching the event, and I highly recommend it.
I just wanted to jump in there and quickly remind folks, for those who are strapped for bandwidth and whatnot as well, you can actually download it in standard def or the full quality high def as well if you want to download the files. So you can sort of, really cool that you've got the option.
And the great thing too is you can watch it. Like I download every event. Like I think it's more than money worth it, but you can hook it up to Apple TV and watch it on your TV. You can watch it on your iPad, your iPhone, your computer, whatever you want. You can sort of watch it wherever and whenever you want, and that's a really good thing about it too.
The Vimeo mobile site is really, really good. It's easy to use as well. The layout is beautiful.
That's right. And I sort of go into my page. There's videos. Click on videos. There's my whole library, every one that I've ever bought, and click on that. Off you go. It's as simple as that. So, yeah, I highly recommend everyone to get on that because, I can't express that enough. You'll really enjoy it. So, and, yeah, the guys do a fantastic job. My own page is just Travis Houston MCW on Facebook. So if you just type in Travis Houston in search, I don't think anyone really uses the address bar for Facebook today, but just find it on there. And, I often post things of my opinions or my predictions with matches coming up, and a little bit more personal about what I'm thinking is going on at the moment and with current storylines and all current what's happening in the world of MCW. So, yeah.
Very cool. Thanks heaps for this, Travis. And I just can't say enough good things about MCW and the VOD. And I tell you what, folks, it is money well spent. If you want to support some independent wrestling, check out MCW. I guarantee you're really going to enjoy it. And Travis Houston, big thanks for coming on the show.
No problems, Josh.
And hopefully we can tee this up again sometime soon. I'd love to get you back on. Maybe we can just have a yarn about the world of WWE or things like that. Yeah. Be good fun.
No dramas, man. Anytime you don't get a draw, just give me a call.
Snap.
Hey, everyone. I'm Todd Eastman.
Hey, he started from the bottom, now he's here.
I'm Miller.
He loves the day.
I'm McBuckets.
I just get buckets. It's plain and simple.
I'm LJ.
Ask him how you threesy hit on Monday night. Oh, none.
We're joined by our mate Mo.
I'm still looking up Dwight's baby mama, so give me a minute.
Where we cover all the NBA, NBL, and other ball news, but mainly talk trash for an hour or so every fortnight. You can catch us on iTunes, Stitcher, and TuneIn Radio app.
We're also on Facebook and Twitter at B-Ballers Podcast.
Or wherever good podcasts are sold.
Dude, it's free.
Wait, we don't get paid?
Nah, man.
Shit, I quit.
That's Big Brawlers Podcast. Funnier than a Sean Marion jumper.
Yeah, massive thanks to Travis Houston for joining me. And folks, that does it for this episode of Wrestle Radio Australia. So remember, you can follow us on Twitter and say hi at Wrestle Radio AU. You'll find me at Josh JD Armour. And just want to again remind you that, we're going to have the new feed happening. You'll still be able to get the show through your iTunes, Stitcher, TuneIn, all those good places beyond Pod. It's just going to be through a different link. So once we've got all of those links for all of the podcast catchers and services, if you will, platforms, if you like, even if you will, then going to have those for you. So big thank you to Travis Houston once again, Thunderstag for our theme music, Dane Davies for our main logo, and Todd Eastman, congratulations on the win the other night alongside Adam Brooks. I think Hammer still wants your blood. But until next time, folks, my name's Josh Armour, and this has been Australia's Wrestling Podcast, Wrestle Radio Australia. Thank you for downloading.
Sinners, lovers and losers, cuckoos and run wild with the hounds of hell. Brothers and sisters, show no mercy, kiss your sons and your daughters goodbye. Been there, done that, heard it all before, chewed up and spit out, we won't take no more. If you wanna live, you're gonna have to fight. Every day's a Friday, every night's a Saturday night.
So quick at getting it up.